Thousands of people displaced from southern Lebanon are returning home following a ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hezbollah, which took effect in the early hours of the morning. The Lebanese army is preparing to deploy an expected 5,000 soldiers to the south of the country as part of the deal, which was announced by the US President Joe Biden. Let's go to Beirut now, from where we're joined by journalist Rania Abu Zaid. Rania, thanks for talking to us again. What's been happening over the past few hours?
Well, today Lebanon is celebrating what it hopes is the end of a very vicious war. As you mentioned, the ceasefire took effect this morning at 4 a.m. and people did not wait for the sun to rise. There were traffic jams on southbound routes, even before the sun was up, and not just heading south, but also heading to the Bekaa Valley and to Baalbek. There is a sense of relief that the war is over and jubilation, but also grief regarding the lives lost as well as defiance. But what we've seen in the past few hours is that streets in suburbs and neighborhoods that were previously deserted are now crowded with people, crowded with families who have returned to assess the damage to their homes. And many of them are pledging to, pitch a tent on the rubble of their homes, but that they will return and stay in their towns and villages.
How has Lebanon been changed by the violence of recent weeks?
Well, the recent weeks were the most intense, but this war is more than a year old. It has led to the deaths of more than 3,800 people, more than 15,000 wounded. There are more than 30 Lebanese border towns and villages that were just blown up by Israel in controlled detonation. So there is an immense level of destruction, both in terms of the human toll as well as the physicality of the war. There are residential buildings that were completely leveled, entire neighborhoods or blocks that have been destroyed, and some of those losses can't be, some of them are irreplaceable. There are historical losses. There is a souk in the southern city of Nabatieh that was completely destroyed, and that is hundreds of years old. So there has been an immense disfiguring physically and also in terms of the psyche, given the size of the losses that Lebanese have endured.
What are the terms of this ceasefire? Is it meant to be permanent?
That's the hope. That is certainly what U.S. President Joe Biden said yesterday. He hopes that it is permanent. However, the devil is in the details, and there are many spoilers on both sides of the border. The ceasefire deal is basically grounded in the United Nations Security Council Resolution 1701, and that was the resolution that ended the last round between Israel and Hezbollah, the last conflict in 2006. That resolution calls for the Israeli army to withdraw and to not violate Lebanese airspace or water or anything, not violate Lebanese sovereignty, and that the Lebanese army and UNIFIL, which is the UN peacekeeping force, are the only armed actors along that southern belt between southern Lebanon and northern Israel. The Israeli military has 60 days to completely withdraw from the territory and for the Lebanese army to move into that area.
What happens if there is a violation by either side?
Well, that's a very good question. At the moment, there is something called the tripartite mechanism, and that groups UNIFIL with Israel and Lebanon to sort of address potential violations. But this time around, those three actors are going to be joined by the US and France, who actually brokered this ceasefire deal.
Rania Abu Zaid in Beirut, thank you very much for that. Well, for more on the mechanics of this deal, we're joined now by security analyst Declan Power. Declan, as we've been hearing there, Lebanese troops are going to the border. So what will be the role of UNIFIL?
Well, UNIFIL's role will stay the same. They're there to fulfil the mandate that they were given in 2006, with the additional maybe benefit or wrinkle from having direct engagement by the French and the US, who, as not just UN members, but UN Security Council members, I would argue that's to be welcomed. The UNIFIL mission is still about keeping the two parties apart, but and to maintain the essence of the agreement, which was about Hezbollah staying north of the Litani River and Israeli military assets staying out of Lebanese territory, not just the conventional forces that we see in there now at the moment, but Israeli air incursions, Israeli intelligence and clandestine operations incursions, which have been the case. See, the reality is, from the start, both parties were breaking significant aspects of the agreement. And it should be remembered that UNIFIL were not tasked with a peace enforcement mission. It was policing an agreement that was supposed to be respected by both parties. Now, bringing the French and US into it is interesting, and particularly the French. And I think the success of the ceasefire bedding in would probably be in no small part to the contribution of the French. The US, as we can see, have limited ability to control the Israelis, but the French still have a lot of influence in Lebanon and understand the Lebanese mindset, and would have used their good offices to bring Hezbollah to the table in this case. It's in Hezbollah's interest too. They need to regroup. They need to lick their wounds. But the other interesting thing about this is Netanyahu's government is going to package this up as a major win, and that's why they're pulling out, and that's why they've agreed to the ceasefire. But they haven't. They have dealt severe blows to Hezbollah, but they haven't defeated them. They've pushed them north of the Litani, and they'll claim that to their own people, they'll claim this is a major victory. But it remains to be seen, will it stop the rockets going into Israel? Will the people, the unfortunate Israeli civilians and farmers who were driven from their land and homes because of those rocket attacks, will they be able to return and live with impunity? That remains to be seen. I have a sneaking suspicion that won't be the case. So I think there will be a return to a normal level of attrition, if I could use that term, and UNIFIL will continue the messy business of trying to act as a buffer between the parties. But the French and the US, their direct input might lead to a longer maybe period of engagement between the parties, because it suits them both at this point in time. But the long-term future, I think, remains as uncertain as it ever was in Lebanon.
And of course, what this won't do is affect the situation in Gaza.
Absolutely. In some ways, what it does is, I've heard one or two people refer to a ceasefire in the Middle East, when what we now know is purely in Lebanon. It's taken the eye off Gaza to an extent, and Israel will have approximately at least four divisions worth of troops to recommit to the Gaza conflict and to get on with what appears to be a policy of wanting to not just obliterate Hamas, but to, it appears, drive Palestinians out of the territory and resettle it, and certainly maintain an IDF presence there for a significant period of time. And again, it allows the Netanyahu government package up what is appears to be a major win, which unfortunately I and others who have stood in that space would say this might be a pyrrhic victory for Israel. It's something that in the immediate is a major manifestation of their military muscle, but creating a level of enmity that's generational, and that in decades to come leaves Israel constantly looking over its shoulder, and generations of Israelis being expected to continue in an attritional fight that will be impacting on lives and fortunes for decades to come.
Declan, thank you for talking to us this afternoon. Security analyst Declan Power.